Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. Happy Friday. Hope you guys had a good week. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. And on today's episode, as I promised, what I wanted to do was answer a lot of questions. There have been a lot of questions sent my way, and a lot of them, you know, I have not, well, really most of them I've not gotten a chance to answer. So what I wanted to do is this, is, you know, I did email some people back, but, you know, I did get some really good questions that I think, you know, are worth, you know, mentioning, you know, on the podcast here. So today, you know, I'm going to take, you know, five questions that were asked to me. Some of these questions, you know, they definitely, you know, I wouldn't say they're very, very, not so much that they're thought-provoking, but they're very interesting questions to ask. And some of them actually are pretty thought-provoking as well. So, you know, that's going to be the focus of today's episode. You know, the first one that I wanted to start out with is a guy named Igor that's in Brazil. So I thought it was very cool that someone that is actually not in the U.S. You know, does follow the show and does follow football. And it's interesting, you know, on another note that, you know, the NFL is definitely gaining more of an international audience, and I think it's very cool that people from other countries, you know, are now getting more into the sport, even though it is, you know, an American sport. But, you know, a guy named Igor, and he's on Anchor, which is where, you know, I do broadcast my podcast from. He asked, you know, DeShone Kizer, he signed with the Green Bay Packers. Do I think DeShone Kizer can still be a good quarterback? And, you know, I think that's an interesting question to ask because, you know, there were two DeShones drafted last year. There was DeShone, D-S-H-O-N, that's Kizer, and DeShone Watson. And to be honest, you know, I heard there were some scouts that honestly didn't feel like they knew which one was going to be better. So, you know, in my opinion, DeShone Watson always looked better on tape. So let me just say this, you know, about DeShone Kizer and answering your question here. When I watched DeShone Kizer, you know, on his college football tape, here's really what I saw. I saw a guy that, you know, has a strong throwing arm. And I believe, you know, his strong throwing arm, the way he rockets it, he does get some good accuracy on a lot of his deep balls and even some of his deeper, more intermediate routes. But, you know, consistently short-term accuracy, he's okay. I just think that, you know, when I look at him as a quarterback and a guy that's trying to play in the NFL, he's very, very raw. Every single snap that he seems to take to me, it's almost like he's playing football in his backyard and he's just seems to be winging it. You know, I think he has more arm strength than I think he has zip. And I always say that zip is certainly going to be more important than arm strength, the velocity of how quickly you can get the ball in there. Aaron Rodgers did not have a stronger throwing arm than Jay Cutler. But Aaron Rodgers got the ball in there a lot faster. So, I mean, that's just one thing there. But to me, he has good zip. It's really not great. And to me, he just doesn't look like a guy that's going to be ready to know how to really read defenses, you know, for a few years, if you're asking me. He has some very nice tools. You know, he can throw the deep ball and the intermediate ball well a lot of times, and I think it's just because he has a strong throwing arm. He can throw the ball far. But in terms of the mental game and reading the defense and all these different things, you know, he's gonna need a lot of coaching. You know, he's definitely gonna need a lot of coaching. He's someone that I don't think can really be an effective pro for another 3 years, if you ask me. You know, the good news is that, you know, in Green Bay, Joe Philbin has returned to Green Bay, and he's the offensive coordinator. I think with him and Mike McCarthy there and under Aaron Rodgers, it's a great place for him to grow. Do I want to say one day he's going to be Cam Newton? No, I don't think he's going to be. But, you know, he can definitely give himself the opportunity to be a starter at some point, I think, if he has a few good years of coaching. So, to me right now, he has some of like the raw tools, but I just don't see him as someone that is ready to really succeed in the NFL. I just think he needs more time and he needs more coaching. Green Bay is a great place for him to get this coaching. So, the Browns, man, the Browns have made so many bad quarterback decisions. This was another one just because he wasn't ready. I wouldn't take a quarterback in the first and second round unless I feel they're NFL ready, just my opinion. But I think they got it right this year with Baker Mayfield. So that's what I'll say on that. DeShone Kizer, yeah, he's in a good situation. It'll take him some time, and we'll see what happens with that. Thanks, Igor from Brazil. Appreciate the question. Thanks. Hey, this one is going out to Barbershop 303 Sports Podcast, Ronald Washington. Ronald, you had asked me, and I think you had a little bit of a discrepancy in terms of, who I ranked in terms of the top 10 quarterbacks of the next 10 years. I made Carson Wentz number 2. I put Trubisky number 1. You were wondering, why would I do that? And I guess just based on your analysis, you thought that I should rank Wentz over Mitchell Trubisky. And I'll say this. When I evaluate quarterbacks, I'm not evaluating their stats. I'm evaluating specifically mechanics and the things that I would grade a quarterback on. When I want to look at Carson Wentz, comparing Carson Wentz to Mitchell Trubisky, number one, Carson Wentz has a much better offensive line. He has better receivers, and he definitely had a better group of running backs. All that is for sure. Carson Wentz, I believe, is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. So we're talking about, great, but we're also talking about, the difference between number one and number two. I'll say this. I honestly do think that Michael Jordan and LeBron James are the two best basketball players in history. And you know what? Regardless of what people say, I don't care. And this will probably spark some more conversations. It's not that thin of a line between the two in terms of who's better. Here's what I'll tell you. If it was that unanimous, people wouldn't be having the debate in the first place. But my point is that, Ronald, that yeah, it's when two guys are just great. Yeah, for me, it's a little bit hard to say who's number one and number two. Here's why I think Mitchell Trubisky, I would rank him over Carson Wentz. One thing is this, is that being able to make all the throws, not just all the throws, but any throw on any angle, I don't know if there's anyone that I've seen in their first season that has shown me that they are more capable of making any throw on any angle with a variety of different touch passes than Mitchell Trubisky. When you look at Carson Wentz, yes, he can make throws on the run. He can do all that stuff. But when I looked at Trubisky's highlights, I mean, and not just his highlights, but also just breaking down, individual games that he had. Just the guy can make any throw at any angle with more accuracy, maybe better than anyone I've seen. When I also want to look at, the hang time. I'm talking about one thing that I like to see is, hey, if you're going to throw the deep ball or the deep intermediate ball, one of the things I love about Drew Brees is that when he throws the deep ball, he may not have the best arm strength in the NFL, but the deep ball, he gets it right into the bucket almost as quick as anyone else. And Mitchell Trubisky, in terms of getting the deep ball and the deep intermediate ball into the bucket, into the bread box, for where his receivers' hands are. I don't know if there's anyone better. I don't know if there's anyone that does it faster than Mitchell Trubisky. Just all of his throws were made on so many of his throws were made on ridiculous angles, and they were just perfectly placed. When I look at Trubisky, he's more of a playmaker. He's better at extending plays. Carson Wentz can extend plays as well. But when I'm looking at actual accuracy, I'm going to say Mitchell Trubisky, I believe, is more accurate than Carson Wentz. I believe Carson Wentz has shown some better awareness in the pocket, but you also have to remember that Mitchell Trubisky has had a garbage offensive line in the end. And you know, Carson Wentz has had a good offensive line. So there are definitely things, you know, to notate with that. When you wanna talk about, you know, just overall intelligence, you know, I think that they're both similar on they're on similar paths right now in terms of, not similar paths, but they're similar right now in terms of development, in terms of what their intelligence is. But when you look at both of these quarterbacks, all these quarterbacks have all the intangibles to be great. I just believe that people have no idea how good Mitchell Trubisky really, really was his rookie year, because he was playing with a very, very weak supporting cast. And even with that weak supporting cast, when I looked at it, I said, this is the best young quarterback I've seen in the NFL. So to me, you know, yes, for those reasons, I'm going to say I rank because I believe Trubisky is more of a playmaker. He has better accurate. He's more accurate. He gets the deep ball in there faster. He's better at extending plays. That is why I give him the edge over Carson Wentz. So, Mr. Washington from Barbershop 303 Sports, I thank you for your question. Now on to the next one. All right. So the next question is from Tom in Hartford. And he asked me, what is the biggest splash move of the last year? And he was saying, between free agency and trades, he said, what was the most impactful transaction or move that's happened, you know, in the last year or so? And to me, I think it's very, very clear. The San Francisco 49ers getting Jimmy Garoppolo. There's no question about it. For those of you who have not listened to my podcast, which is called, you know, Ranking the 10 Best Quarterbacks of the Next 10 Years. I definitely encourage you to listen to that, because I do give a breakdown on Jimmy Garoppolo, and I ranked him actually as one of the very, very best quarterbacks of the next 10 years. And you know, when I look at Jimmy Garoppolo, first of all, again, he shredded the Patriots defense all the time. Now, when you go back and look at his college tape, to me, there was nothing missing. He was someone that should have been drafted in the first round. And I am not saying this in hindsight. I'm saying this based on his college tape, based on the way I evaluate quarterbacks. He was a first round pick. Mm-hmm. When you look at Jimmy G's tape with the 49ers, you know, he sits in the pocket and he scans the field in a hurry. I mean, when you want to talk about a guy that also, you know, can get outside the pocket and make great throws, it's there. I mean, you want to look at pocket presence, accuracy, awareness. There's literally not a weakness in his game whatsoever. The 49ers were destitute last season. As soon as they got Jimmy Garoppolo, they had a franchise quarterback who's playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, plugged him in right away, and they were winning games. You know, and again, please do go back and listen to that podcast, because I do talk a little bit more about Jimmy G on there. But to me, you know, although a small sample size, Jimmy Garoppolo is gonna be one of the best quarterbacks of the next, you know, 10 years. And to be honest, I don't care how early it is. I don't care how small the sample size is. He looks like a Hall of Fame quarterback when I watch him play. All right. Next up, I'm answering my man Earl Brocks. Earl was basically more so just making a statement saying that, you know, after he heard my podcast on Johnny Manziel saying that he believes he can succeed in the NFL, he just needs to bring back the talent that he had to Texas A&M. Well, I'll tell you, even in the NFL, when I evaluated Johnny Manziel, that talent never went away. Earl, you also mentioned that he was with the wrong team. Well, I'll say this, you know, look at a guy like Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky is with the wrong team right now, but as I was saying, you know, earlier in this podcast, you know, I think Mitch Trubisky looks like the best young quarterback in the NFL when evaluating the game tape. Now, one interesting thing I'll say, and I am not one to spread rumors. Well, yes, I am, because I'm going to do it right now. But I do have a coworker whose best friend is a teammate of Johnny Manziel. And although this is a rumor, I have been told that Johnny Manziel never stays late after practice, never shows up early, and he's seeing that there's not really much of a work ethic there. And, you know, whether that's true or not, that's really what was Johnny Manziel's problem in the NFL. But it was also really, his biggest problem is his brain. Him being able to stay focused, to stay clean, that's going to be it. I believe that Johnny Manziel, if coached properly, he will still need some time to be coached. He's still not ready to be a great NFL quarterback. Yes, he has eyes in the back of his head. He can improvise as well as maybe any quarterback I've seen come out of college in a while, but there's still a lot of things that he does not do well enough as guys like, he doesn't do well enough that's going to make him, a surefire thing right now. So I believe Johnny Manziel, he can succeed in the NFL. It's going to be down to his work ethic and keeping his mind right, and it really comes down to that. And the reason why I say it comes down to that is because the things that Johnny Manziel is struggling with, when you want to talk about, on the field, he just doesn't really, he just wants to improvise on every single play, and you really shouldn't have to. I always talk about Russell Wilson being a guy that is a pocket first quarterback that runs when the time is right. Johnny Manziel just likes to improvise in every single play. And although that works great in college, you need to have more of a game plan in the NFL. I don't like the fact that Johnny Manziel does not step into his throws. For me, I always like to see my quarterback step into their throws. But, the things that Manziel struggles with, they can be coached. He can get better. And yes, he does have the tools to succeed in the NFL. It just depends on, it's really up to him on whether he's going to make it happen or not. Thanks for the question or statement, Earl. Appreciate it. On to the last one. All right, and answering my last question from Micah in California. Don't know exactly where in California, but he was saying, I'm guessing maybe it's Southern California, because his question is, his question was basically, and it was a voice message to me on Anchor. And what he was asking was, basically, why do I think Sam Darnold can succeed when USC basically has a history of failing quarterbacks? Well, I'll say this, Carson Palmer was not a failure as a quarterback. There were a few years that Carson Palmer was actually one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. There were years like that early in his career, and there are years like that later in his career. So Carson Palmer, I don't care what anyone says. Yeah, he had some injury issues, but overall, to think that Carson Palmer was a bust, to me is pretty crazy. He's had some really, really great years. And yes, you look at guys like Barkley, like Mark Sanchez, Matt Leinart, I get it. There's been a number of USC quarterbacks that have not made it. And I understand, I understand why you're saying it as well in terms of, historically what the system has been at UFC, but USC, love Ultimate Fighting, but kind of get it mixed up sometimes. But look, when I look at a quarterback, I don't care what school he comes from. I don't care what system he plays in. Yeah, I do care to a degree because, if he plays in the right system, it's better training. If he plays in an NFL-ready system, it's a better training ground. I get it. But ultimately, I always say that there is a certain way that I evaluate quarterbacks. And I look at the same things that with whatever quarterback I evaluate. And to me, when I compare Sam Darnold to Matt Leinart, to Matt Barkley, or even to Carson Palmer or Mark Sanchez, he is physically capable of doing more than any of those guys. Yes, even including Carson Palmer. When you want to talk about Sam Darnold's upside and just as a quarterback and what I've seen on film, it blows away Mark Sanchez. It blows away Barkley. To me on tape, he's better than Carson Palmer in college. I get it. Carson Palmer was the number one pick. Well, I won't say his tape was better, But I'll say his upside is better. Sam Darnold's upside is absolutely ridiculous. Again, I say that Sam Darnold is not NFL ready right now. He went to the Jets. He's going to need a few years to be groomed. But when I look at what he's capable of and the intangibles, and I'm not just talking about, you know, strong arm. I'm talking about a lot of different things. The ability to improvise, you know, when he's actually stayed in the pocket, what he's looked like, his ability to extend plays, his velocity, his awareness, his ability to lead receivers into space, all these things are the same things that I evaluate for any quarterback. So I don't really care for the most part. I mean, I care, like I said, to a degree what college they played for, but when you compare Sam Darnold to pretty much all of those USC quarterbacks, in terms of talent and ability, it's not even close. So yes, he's a USC quarterback. If he is someone that is coachable and is willing to work hard, he is to me a franchise quarterback and a damn good one. When I watch him on tape, he's a combination of Andrew Luck and Tony Romo. Andrew Luck in terms of just that big, strong body, ability to drive the ball downfield with great velocity, and Tony Romo with that great ability to extend plays. And when you see him extend plays, he does it in a very similar way. I believe Sam Darnold has all the tools to be a megastar. It's just going to be that he needs a few years and see, you know, how well he takes to the coaching, how hard he works, and it's ultimately going to be up to him.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.